And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 to Noon Show here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. 7 minutes past 9 on this Wednesday, the 3rd of September. After a big long chat with Lee, everything's back about 3 or 4 minutes. Our apologies. But listen, just to remind you, if you do want to take part live in the Secret Sound from Aranmore Island tomorrow morning around about 8:45, get in touch with us 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000, and we'll line a couple of you up. Be a bit of fun. If you're not for it, that's fine too, but why not live? Okay, lots coming up on the programme today, as you can imagine. We've got lots of stories, both local and big, important national stories as well. We have some excellent features, hopefully, that you'll find interesting and informing, and your views as well. 086 60 25,000, the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. The Finn Valley Voice is out this morning, and Celine McGlynn writes that trade union Forsa held pickets outside a number of local TDs constituency offices yesterday, including one outside the office of Junior Minister Charlie McConnell Logan Letterkenny, and there was a picket outside Skullmora B&C Stranorla on Monday. Thousands of school secretaries and caretakers across the country began indefinite strike action on Thursday the 28th of August in a campaign by Forsa Trade Union to secure equal treatment and pension inclusion for over 2,600 staff. Now, they need your support. If you are inclined to support them, if you use social media, you know, tag a politician in, and that really is what's going to be required, I think, to move it forward for them at the moment, because the government seemingly are content to allow these protests continue without any further engagement. And that could be their right, their will. Maybe they're right. I don't know. It's not my shout. But I'm saying, if you want to support the secretaries and the caretakers and you're on social media, you kind of need to use that platform as well and tag in your TDs, government or otherwise, and just say, look, enough is enough. Have a look at this situation. Extensive coverage of this incredibly troubling story from down the country. Gardaí are told boy was found dead in bed and secretly buried in a panic. Gardaí investigating the disappearance of a young boy were told he was found dead in bed and secretly buried in a panic. A woman told Gardaí the child had died in his sleep of natural causes and that she and her partner had secretly buried him in waste ground in Donabate, County Dublin. Now, no one seems to be seeking any public appeal in relation to this. The child and his family are anonymous. A search for the boy, who has not been seen since he was 3.5 years old and would now be aged 7, has so far been unsuccessful. On Monday, Gardaí took control of an area of open ground in Donabate, which is now the focus of a major search operation after receiving this information. Now, we also have learned that this young boy was put up for adoption, that he was under the care of Tusla for a time, and that he was given back to his family then at some point. And then, as it so happens, tragically, one of the suggestions is that he died in his sleep, which obviously have to be really careful because it's such a sensitive topic, but I just hope it's rigorously investigated, given the history and then, of course, the child's passing. But it opens up a ton of questions. What is the situation with other children? You know, children that Tusla had action with or interaction with, say, when they were 3 or 4 or 2 or whatever, they're given back to their families or they're put into care or whatever it might be. And, you know, they sign off effectively on the case and then they move on. As far as I can determine, there is no follow-up. So they wouldn't go back to a family, unless I'm very much mistaken, and I really do genuinely hope I am. They don't go to it back and check on that child 6 months after the case is closed, a year after the case is closed, a year and a half after the case is closed. And, you know, here we have a situation that if the child, if it is agreed that the child died in their sleep and then was buried, the only action you could take against anybody would be a fine. There's no custodial sentence for not reporting a child's death. So there's an awful lot of things that are set up to not protect children. And the fact that Tusla doesn't do regular follow-up checks on children that clearly have been in, and I'm talking generally here, in home. I mean, if they did do that, if they went through all of the files now and tried to follow up on every child that they had interactions with, say over COVID or before COVID or whenever. Tusa's not terribly, terribly old. You know, would how many other cases like this might be identified? We know of two, but two have sort of come to light by almost by accident. The checks and balances that discovered this child being missing was to do with really to make sure children's allowance wasn't being improperly claimed or that the parents wanted to claim the children's allowance. It wasn't to do with the well-being of the child or where is the child or is the child safe or is the child alive or how has the child been treated since Tusa signed the case off. Do you know what I mean? It was a really discovered because someone was checking up on social welfare and to make sure either A, the parents wanted to continue to, you know, the forms if you've got young kids, or B, that, you know, there was nothing untoward going on in the claiming of that children's allowance. We cannot rely on that to be the safety net to discover whether or not children are alive or dead. And hopefully we do a little bit more on that a little later on, because I can't think of many other stories as important as the welfare of our children, especially those that have been brought to the attention of Tusla. Candidates in the local and general elections last year were subjected to a barrage of online abuse, hate and threats, including death threats, according to research from the media regulator Commission Naman. This is in the Irish Times. Almost 6 in 10, 59% of general election candidates, and almost half, 48% of local election candidates experienced offensive, abusive or hateful behaviour online. Violent or intimidating behaviour online or were impersonated online. In the local elections, almost one in four candidates, 24%, who experienced negative online behaviour was subjected to threats to kill or harm them. The figure for the general election was slightly lower at 21%. Immigration, as you can imagine, was the issue which was most frequently cited by candidates as a reason for being targeted, cited by 71% of candidates who experienced abuse in the local elections and 64% in the general election. So you could have a very anti-immigration candidate who won't get really that level of abuse, but you can get one who's maybe sort of says we need some level of we need to support people to, at some level, and it is they then that gets the abuse, but most of them do. A remarkable story, some might say, coming out of Britain affecting an Irish man, and this is in the Irish Daily Mail. Father Ted co-creator Graeme Lenehan was arrested by five armed police officers in Heathrow Airport. Why? He had flown in from the United States and he was met effectively on the tarmac by five armed police officers. Well, it's because he sent out a couple of tweets on the social media platform X, and it was to do with transgender activists. The Dubliner said he was dealt with like a terrorist held in a cell and then had to be rushed to hospital because the stress nearly killed him. Mr. Linehan, 57, was flying from Arizona to London and said he was detained as soon as he stepped off the plane. He said he was bailed on condition that he did not use X to hold he told the Mail. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling branded the arrest totalitarian and deplorable. Linehan's career has been overshadowed in recent years due to his controversial social media posts about transgender activism. Now, he's dead against it, and he speaks quite strongly in relation to, you know, the whole area of transgender, the right of women and girls to have their own spaces. So this is the type of stuff he's been campaigning on. What he really, I'll read the tweet that got him into the bother, if that's okay. And it contains the word balls, right? But in a different context. But I just want to read it out to get your views on it. So this is the tweet that got him into bother. If a trans-identified male, so that would be a trans woman as others would describe them, if a trans-identified male is in a female-only space, he is committing a violent, abusive act. Make a scene, he said. Call the cops, and if all else fails, punch him in the balls. Now, that was deemed to be incitement to violence. He claims that the size differentiation means that that would be the natural strike point, and it was a joke, and he didn't mean anything by it. But that's I can understand how that might be very hurtful to certain people, but five armed cops, you know, cracking down on that. I don't know what you think. 086 60 25,000. I think the police have done a misstep because politicians from all sides and obviously activists have rounded in behind him. Donald Trump is alive and well, despite 5 or 6 days of speculation that he was dead or had a stroke or his heart was giving in. Well, he looked fine yesterday on the news. Donald Trump has said the US Space Command will be moving following major speculation he was set to make an announcement on his health, although I never saw that speculation. The US president confirmed the new Space Command HQ would go to Huntsville, Alabama, following a political back and forth over the issue. Over several years, Trump said the decision could create up to 30,000 jobs. But anyway, that's for those two states. He is alive and well. But listen, they talk about social media being the platform of truth. It's crazy what's said there. The Irish Daily Mirror this morning. Nearly €3.6 million in overpayments were made to Garda or civilian members of the police force over the past 2.5 years. And Garda said payments totalling €2.7 million were incorrectly made to over 1,450 officers since the start of 23. Of that total, around €1.32 million has so far been recouped from officers, according to data that was released under Freedom of Information Law. So there's still quite a chunk of that, €1.4 million, that's still in the pockets. A further €877,000 in overpayments was made to 555 civilian members of Angara during the same period. From that, less than €330,000 has so far been recouped. And finally, I think, you know, we talk about people entering the race for the Aris, and Joanna Donnelly is one of those that has put her name forward. And I, listen, anyone, I've said this before, anyone that puts themselves in front of the public to be voted on, I have an awful lot of admiration for. And I don't care whether I agree with them or disagree with them. Anyone that puts themselves forward for public scrutiny, you have to admire them. I think you have to admire them anyway. Joanna Donnelly, obviously a lovely lady, but I think she's sort of maybe realised very quickly what we've been talking about, that as soon as you put your name in a hat, you're open to scrutiny. And she did a couple of interviews yesterday, and unfortunately, I wish she hadn't, because I couldn't watch all of them because it was so uncomfortable to watch, and that she hadn't really been prepped by someone who knows the media or understands the media and could have told her the questions she's likely to be asked, and she could have had answers prepared. But unfortunately, she didn't. And the interview on Virgin Media was a very, very difficult watch. The questions weren't incredibly challenging, and I think Joanna Donnelly wanted to sort of portray herself as a middle ground, you know, appeal to all type candidate. But the bottom line is you have to answer questions on certain things, and she should have been better briefed by whomever might be handling her media. But anyway, this is effectively, this is what happens. You think it's just the presidential election, everything's going to be nice, maybe raise your profile a little bit, but the truth is, you know, very quickly you start to be scrutinised, and she found that out yesterday. She may well bounce back from it. Telly's Joanna Donnelly has stormed into the race for the Aris. See what they did there. As she declared last night, "I want to be president." The ex-Meath Éireann star has written to local authorities seeking a meeting in a bid to get a nomination. She said, "I want to be part of the voice going forward, and there isn't a better voice than the highest office in the country to help." But as I say, she kind of got a sharp lesson in the realities of all of that. Okay, that was a run through some of the papers making the headlines today. So the 90-year-old Cecil Oak tree in Letterkenny has been chopped down. The tree at Ballyrane was the subject of a spirited local campaign seeking to save it. More than 1,200 people signed a public petition last year. The tree was felled this week for the next stage of the N56 Letterkenny Urban Active Travel Project, which in and of itself is already controversial, and it includes signalised junctions at both the Ballyrane and Creamery roundabouts. 32 trees, including 10 oaks, are due to be planted to replace those cut down in the area. And there's this idea that people will be handed acorns in Letterkenny to plant oak trees. I mean, we're just going to be doing the same thing again in 20, 30, 40, 50 years if that is not sort of overseen. Caroline joins me now. Caroline, devastating news, obviously, in the context of this being a tree, but brokenhearted. Tell me why it mattered so much to you.
It was such a beautiful tree, Greg. I just stood so much in the middle of the beautiful Oak Park, Ballyraine Park. I just stood at the entrance. When I went over this morning to look at it, the lovely park, it's like a shamrock, the shape of a shamrock at the top of it. It was just a fabulous tree, a deciduous tree, something we don't have very much in Letterkenny. We don't have a lot of trees, deciduous trees. I used to love going to Donegal Town because of lovely Bangkok and these beautiful big, lovely big trees with big barks in them. Something we, you know, from a child, we were lacking in that in the town. St. Connell's, the new park, Robinson's Field. That's where we have the deciduous trees. Other than that, just very little. And this was stood out to me, and it's gone today.
Obviously, you know, the town has outgrown the tree, and, you know, developments were planned. You know, motorists will say, listen, we need better infrastructure. Those maybe traffic lights might work in that regard. Does any part of you understand that, and I'm not saying it's actually the truth, but does any part of you sort of get that maybe this was a sacrifice for a greater good that had to be made?
No. This was no sacrifice for the greater good. The only solution to the problem in Letterkenny is a bridge over the Swilly, another bridge in and out. And that's just so sad that our tree had to be felled for cycle lanes, as they say. But I don't know what. I just picked up some leaves today from it to keep as a souvenir. But yesterday morning, I just had this feeling that something was going to happen. So I just went over and I was touching the tree, and I thought to myself, will I see you next September? Is this your last September? And it was. It only had 2 days. But the strange thing was, the night before last, the crows, about 12 o'clock, they were going crazy. And I just don't understand, maybe that they had a feeling that something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it was very unusual that they were just going crazy, because we have a few deciduous trees around us. But and it was pure dark. And I thought to myself, God, is there something in
ominous,
the air that they're
almost
picking up on?
Yeah, it was almost ominous.
Yeah.
And a decision like this can't be undone. That's the thing, you know. It's done
that's
now. There is an irony, arguably, that we're being encouraged to walk and cycle to save the planet, really, effectively, and to get fitter. It might be quite a boring old walk or cycle, you know, if we're ripping all the greenery out of the place. You know, a concrete jungle, is that where we're
heading? True, yes. That's where we're heading, yes. It's too bad that we, you know, we don't have these beautiful trees. This is my favourite time of the year, seeing the colours change and seeing them falling and walking in crispy leaves. You don't get that with the evergreen trees as much, and it's so sad that we've felled this beautiful tree to make way for cycle lanes.
And I get a sense that many, many people do, that maybe you sort of have a connection with these type of things on a slightly deeper level than most, Caroline.
Yes, I do, yeah. Yes, I lived in the United States for 5 years, and I used to love the trees. Such beautiful, the colours. And I just think that there's so much to them. People don't realise the love that I have for them.
Yeah, all right. So I'm sorry in that regard. I'm sorry in that regard, because you'll be feeling it on a level maybe deeper than I can understand, but it doesn't mean I can't, you know, sympathise in that regard too. All right, Caroline, listen, look after yourself.
Thank you very
much. I know you have a busy morning. Take care.
Okay,
thanks for chatting to us. I'll go next to Noel Foley, chair of Antashka in Donegal, and also a forester for many, many years. Noel, as I said, there's sort of a finality to this. You know, the conversation at least kept it there. The campaigns, it felt like it kept it there for a time being, but now it's just a stump, and I'm sure it's going to be ripped out of the ground in the not too distant future. What's your reaction?
I'm livid. But the conversation hasn't stopped, Greg, insofar as there are going to be more cycle lanes. Essentially, this reflects badly on the thought processes of Donegal County Council. There are going to be more cycle lanes built, and I hope to God the same mistakes won't be made again. Just to go through what has happened here. First of all, you had the line of maples opposite Georgie Sweeney's in the Ballyraine Linear Park. They were felled in order to accommodate a cycle lane. There was mad. There was acres of space on the other side of those trees. The trees could have remained. The cycle lane could have been built. Those maples were felled at this time last year. Then this oak tree, and I can tell you about the oak tree in a few minutes, but then this oak tree that has stood for maybe 80 years, witnessed a lot of changes around it, witnessed the new road being built around it, all the houses being built around it, and now it's been felled. End of story for that tree today. And just to tell you, the sessile oak tree is the national tree of Ireland. And this particular tree had a beauty and a structure all of its own. Because at some stage, my guess is it's about 80 years of age, at some stage in its young life, when it was only a metre tall, the terminal bud, the top bud, was broken off it. Maybe it was grazed off it or broken off it or something like that. And all branches, it branched out in every direction. It was a lovely statuesque tree in the summer and in the winter. And it's shocking to see it gone.
Do you think that we give enough consideration and maybe... I can just imagine in another country that this actually being the jewel in the crown of a cycle lane, you know, that maybe it splits around it or something along those lines. I mean, do we know in other countries if they value this type of natural infrastructure and sort of incorporate it as even a nod to the environment, this sort of beauty of people maybe cycling past this oxygen purifier? I don't know. I don't want to get all fancy with my language or try in that regard, but I just can imagine in other countries this being used as an icon of a cycle lane, if you know what I mean, rather than it being chopped to make way for tar that probably won't be used too much.
Oh, without a doubt. And you see, the thing about the cyclists and the cycle lane, the cyclists are well able to maneuver around any tree. And you rightly said, like cyclists like going through a nice landscape. Motorists like going through a landscape. Pedestrians like going through a landscape. And it seems such a waste, a genuine waste, to fell this tree that if it was left growing had another century of growth left on it. Another century where people could have appreciated all the more. We need to get in touch with nature all the more. We're suffering a biodiversity crisis and we don't need this. There's enough of bad news in the world and a lot of bad news in the world. I was really hoping all summer that this tree is still standing. There's a bit of good news. There's some kind of a ray of good news for humanity. And in the middle of a biodiversity crisis, this tree has been felled. Shocking.
Yeah, and ironically, if the truth be told, anyone that thinks the majority will be cycling, this will be electric scooters and electric push bikes that will be going up and down this, which themselves aren't necessarily environmentally friendly with how we have to mine to get the batteries and all that kind of stuff. All right, then. Listen, Noel, thanks very much. I do appreciate your time and your insight. That's Noel Foley there, chair of Antashka in Donegal, and was a forester for many years. And he said, you know, this tree had another century in it. No longer. It's gone. Mary T. Sweeney was leading the campaign to save the tree. And it was very clear in the language from the council that they'd made their decision and, you know, weighed it against what they would see the greater good, Mary T. It's kind of unfortunate because, you know, there's hope while there's a campaign for those who wanted this retained. But now its fate has been sealed. It's nothing. And now a handful of acorns up for grabs.
I think the biggest insult is to tell us that you can have an acorn to plant in a garden, which is what nobody wants to do in an urban area because of the root system of the tree, which Noel could explain much better than I. And there, and I was talking to a fellow from Fannett, his family's from Fannett, he's a landscape gardener in one of the big estate houses in the Cotswolds in England last week, and he's been following this campaign online. And he was home in Ireland last weekend and I met him and he says, there's no way in England they would remove that tree. The irony being that the English removed all our oak trees, the symbolic and the historical value of the oak to the Irish nation.
There was a couple of guys in America, in England, cut down a tree and ended up in prison.
Yeah. And the biggest insult to me is the lie that there's a public consultation about anything in this country. That erodes any respectable value on the concept of a public consultation. That's a box-ticking exercise. They are not listening to communities. And the most positive aspect of the tree, when you look at the symbolism of the oak tree, it was about security and protection. It predates Christianity, even into the Breton law. The Breton law actually was very strictly protective of the oak tree and had severe fines and penalties to damage the oak tree because of its value to society and significance symbolically. To St. Bridget, you know, it's where the first monastery was built because of its protection and bringing community together. And it certainly did that in Ballyrain. And it was just a privilege to be involved with the Ballyrain community because it showed the what we're lacking most in Letterkenny is that the council have done nothing to preserve or to broaden the sense of community in our society. And what they've done is they have divided to have conquered. And that's exactly what they did here. And the one aspect I would ask our community to do is to have your societies and your housing estates, because we need that sense of a community to be built up to have any say going forward, because the council have very strictly said to the people, we don't care what you say, and shame on the council. The whole significance of the oak has been lost on them. The historical influence and symbolism of the oak has been lost on them. They have proven that they've no concerns about the community in Letterkenny by their action coming stealing in the middle of the night to do what?
I don't think, I mean, if the truth be told, if I was cutting this tree down, I do the work at night because that's when there's less foot traffic, less vehicular traffic. I don't think it's been done in a sneaky way. I think that's just the best way of doing it. And I'm just saying that to try and be balanced, to be honest with you. Is there no argument, though? Is there no argument for the greater good here? People on their bikes, people with the prams, a safe junction next to this tree or where it used to be, traffic lights that speed up the traffic or don't speed up the traffic but allow traffic through. Is there no greater good argument that would work for you, Mary T?
Right, no, because if you don't value your natural environment, you work with your natural environment to design, you don't work against it. Why have they planted a significant number of trees coming in the four-lane carriageway that are not going to be allowed to grow? It's madness. Once those trees start to grow up, they're going to start catching the lorry, the MERS, the lorries, the sides of lorries. There's no rationality to what they're trying to do here. Yeah. They're following a plan from Dublin, which is probably developed from Europe. And there's no contact to Ireland, to Donegal, to the people in the community. It's absolutely ridiculous what they're doing.
Listen,
it's foolish.
Okay, Mary T, listen, thank you for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. We're going to get the views of the mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, but I do have to take this quick break. Okay, I'd say there's lots of people listening going, oh, it's only a tree, and then lots of people listening going, I can't believe it. And I think that depends on where you are, but also to, you know, maybe how connected you are to nature. There's different views out there. Councillor Kieran Brogan is the mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. And Councillor, it's inevitable that, you know, the likes of yourself and other reps in the area are going to be the first port of call to sort of say, you know, what's going on. Were you given any forewarning to prepare you for that this was actually going to happen? Like, were you told that it was going to happen last night, I wonder?
Absolutely none whatsoever. And the first that I knew of this when I looked at Highland Radio's website this morning. And I can tell you that honestly, Greg.
No, I don't doubt that for a second.
I'm disappointed because I'm annoyed and disappointed because Donegal County Council, by and large, doing an awful lot of good work. Doing good work, working with residents, working with communities. And we have done a lot of work in this whole area over the years through the Lanier Park and the different investments we made in this area. But this is a process now that's been ongoing for the last number of years. And the first target for this was put forward in 2020. Mm-hmm. I actually proposed the target at that time. But then, as you know, over a year ago, there was new proposals came forward for the cycle lanes and the amendments to it, which I challenged from the outset, and I'm still challenging them.
You've scrutinised those.
I just the residents of this area.
Yeah, just we'll get to that, but I just want to, in relation to the Letterkenny Traffic Management and that active travel project, you're in an advantage over I in that you've scrutinised the plans, you've looked at it on the map, you know, we've heard your concerns as it relates to the removal of a lane outside the hotel, for an example, in other areas. Having looked at the plans, can you see a way whereby the plans could have progressed, but we could have retained this tree that obviously was so important to so many people?
Well, I think the one thing in any process is to allow people a situation where you feel that they're taking their points on board, and then, you know, come back and give a full explanation to them. And there's been a good bit of engagement. And last Tuesday, last Monday, we had a briefing, a roads workshop, and we got a briefing from the National Road Design Office, who is handling this whole process. It's not the local council who's delivering this project. So the local people on the ground in Letterkenny and the council are not responsible for these actions that took place in the middle of the night. I want to make that very clear, and I'm disappointed the way it was done. I'm disappointed that we weren't informed as elected members that it was happening. I just have one simple question to ask. Why carry out these works in the middle of the night? It sends out the wrong message on behalf of Donegal County Council and what we're about, because as a local authority, we work hard at many good, positive initiatives like the urban regeneration, the different projects that we're working on. But to go in the middle of the night and do this here, I think was so, so wrong, and it's damaging to the brand of Donegal County Council. And as I say, from my perspective, and it's not on my name, and I think we need to respect, you know, people can have different views, but there needs to be mutual respect on this process. And I think the people who, a lot of them I've been working closely, the residents in that area, have been very passionate about this from the outset. And I think some of the points that they have been making, not just about the tree, but some of the concerns they had about exiting and entering their homes, I think made a lot of common sense. But last Tuesday, we had a briefing from the National Road Design Office and Letterkenny elected members. And we were told in a verbal briefing that there were some amendments coming forward to that scheme from the Polestar to the Creamery roundabout that I raised, a lot of the concerns that I'd raised. So two things I asked for at that meeting was that the residents would be all fully consulted and briefed so that everybody's fully informed on the next steps. We were told that a contractor was about to be appointed. So I asked then that we would get a written report. I think it's very important that we have a full written report. And the second thing was the residents being briefed. And we didn't get the written report as of yet. But I have a question now for our MD meeting on Tuesday. But to think in the middle of this process, if you like, that was only last Monday, that somebody somewhere decided to go and cut that tree down. It doesn't help for community relations, because I think you need to have, you know, there's nothing, if it was the case that the tree had to come down, right? Then there's nothing, and there's many public notices go out in Highland Radio. Yeah. We get text messages about roadworks, we get text messages about so many different things. So what's wrong? I mean, if everything was in order,
it's to avoid someone chaining themselves to the tree, Kieran, or for 15 people to encircle the tree. Do you know? And it's done at night, I presume, because there's less traffic and less foot traffic.
I think to be fair, with health and safety and stuff like that nowadays, if something like that was deemed to be done, there would have to be, as would happen anywhere, proper procedures would have to be followed. But I think for a local authority, you need to be seen to be open and transparent. And this portrays the local authority in very poor light.
Yeah, of course. And listen, I'm not expressing a view here. I'm just trying to tease out the conversation and maybe reflect what council officials might be thinking, or those behind the actual project. Okay, listen, Kieran, thank you very much indeed. That's Councillor Kieran Brogan, Mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. He says it shouldn't have happened. He says it certainly shouldn't have happened in the middle of the night. There should have been a consultation, and it happened not in his name. The council very firm in the fact that they believe it was essential. The decision to remove the tree was not taken lightly and was done so out of absolute necessity. The tree removal is required as part of the N56 Letterkenny Traffic Management and Active Travel Project. This is crucial. It's a crucial project that provides critical planned infrastructure for Letterkenny with the principal aim of aiding the reduction of chronic congestion. Specifically, the project's aim to improve traffic flow on the N56 through signalisation of the Ballyrick Rain and Creamery junctions, including the provision of additional traffic lanes at those locations. Like, if you're living there now, it's going to be tight getting out, because what way does that work? You have to stay behind the cycle lane and then wait for traffic to break so you can come out. You certainly can't sit on the traffic lane, the cycle lane, I presume, and there's not going to be enough space between the cycle lane and the road to sit. So it's going to make people getting out of residential areas in that location more difficult, I would imagine. It's not something that can't be overcome, I presume, because it's not unique to Letterkenny, but I can't necessarily think of anywhere else in Letterkenny where you have to cross a wide cycle lane to get out onto the road to exit your property, or cross it to get in, for that matter, as well. Miriam joins me on line two. Miriam, thanks so much for your time. It's greatly appreciated. You're very firm in your view on this tree. Tell us about it.
Okay, thank you very much for being able to speak here with you. Yes, it was a complete shock this morning to hear on your radio station at 9 o'clock that the tree was gone. I couldn't believe it. So I phoned immediately. Of course, Noel, and he had heard it as well. And just to say, Noel was there yesterday at 5 o'clock in the morning to guard the tree. Mm. So, yes, there were rumors going around that something was going to happen. And I'm very glad, actually, that Kieran Brogan, the councillor, spoke, because, of course, immediately you think, how is it possible that the council is doing this? So now I'm clear that it was just someone took the decision of the National Road Design Office. So I want to say as well that I'm a biker myself, a biker who bikes a lot near Ballyrain. And there is absolutely no need at all to cut the tree, as everybody saw on all the photos, that there is a lane right beside that road. Mm. Right beside the tree, there was a lane which could have been used as a cycle lane. And it was just to speak maybe to the road engineer. And I'm sure if the road engineer would have been consulted, I'm sure that he or she would have made that clear as well. So just to say as well that sometimes we think first about our cars and we think first about our roads, but actually a tree gives in 1 year 100,000 liters of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So a person, each person needs about 200,000 liters of oxygen a year. So that tree provided oxygen for us. But much more, as Carol said, obviously the crows were already in the know, which is amazing, that something was going to happen. And yesterday, I also went specially to take photos of the tree because we just didn't know what was going to happen. And I think many people were saying a prayer, you know, just that it would stay there. But I would like to say, Greg, something very, which I think is important, because somebody of the bike, the week of the bike, said to me, look, but there was actually a consultation. And then I asked him, and when was that consultation? So he sent me the news. And apparently it was from the 4th of February, or no, the 6th of February, till March the 25th. Now, the public could then put their views during that time to the council. But what happens, in my view, is that those consultations are not published. They should be published in the local newspaper, mm-hmm. so that you have knowledge that you can actually say something about it.
Yeah, but that's not what we do here. We avoid, Miriam, public consultation in this country because it can block what we wish to achieve. We've seen that in other areas of life here, that the less public consultation you have. Listen, at the end of the day, if I were making this decision, I know I cut that tree down. There'll be an hour talking about it on the likes of Highland Radio, what have you. And see, next Monday or next Tuesday, you can just batter on with whatever you were going to do anyway, and life moves on. That's really regrettable if that's the case. Do you know what I mean? That you just put up with the pushback initially because you know you're going to get your own way anyway. And you can't do that with proper public consultation, because if there was full public consultation, Miriam, this tree would never be allowed to be cut down.
Exactly, exactly, Greg. And I just want to remind you and people who are listening to this, that if you remember, I think it was about 2 years ago, the Ballyrain School had planted, the children had planted a lovely line of trees there on the corner. And out of a sudden, people saw the whole line was taken down, and it was shocking. And I thought it is terribly shocking for the children, because as a child, you don't forget things.
There is something more. It's not that long ago either, since a lot of trees were just topped off in Ballybofey and Alder and other areas as well. This was to do with maintenance budgets, I believe. Miriam, I do have to move on. Your point has been very eloquently made. I do appreciate it. If I think of cycling in a European context, I would go to Holland, to be honest with you. And in Holland, cycle lanes are often designed with tree buffers to enhance cyclist safety and comfort. The reason they do that is to provide visual separation from motor traffic, reducing perceived pollution and creating a cooler environment. So that's how other countries see trees. They see trees as the friend of cycle lanes and cycling. Obviously, we don't. I just have 2 minutes with Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly. Donal, your reaction to, I suppose, the tree being felled, but also, I suppose, how it's all came about. This can never be undone. What happened last night, it's finished. It can't, no matter what happens, this can't be resolved to the tree lover's satisfaction. It's gone.
Yeah, Greg, thanks for having me, Greg. But yeah, you're correct. You know, it's done now, and I suppose you'd be like, it's done and dusted. But the fact of the matter is, Greg, where I have an issue and a problem here is the manner in which this was dealt in. You know, and I completely understand the frustrations of local residents and the people that have been on your show this morning. And they're right to be frustrated, because, you know, I'm disappointed myself. To get up this morning and receive phone calls and text messages in relation to what happened here, and to see it on social media. You know, as ourselves as local county councillors, we were not made aware of this. I definitely wasn't made aware of this, these works to be carried out. And on top of that, I think it's very disappointing, and it shines a very dim light on Donegal County Council, where they haven't engaged with the local residents here. Mm-hmm. And the people that signed the petition and they had the protest in relation to this tree. Now, I do understand, Greg, when this came forward back a number of weeks ago, you know, when I asked the question on the health of this tree, and I was led to believe at the time that the tree was hollow, and it was my understanding that the tree was going to have to come down anyway and was unsafe. Now, I do understand, Greg, in relation to what you've said yourself in relation to the works being carried out at night, in relation to the safety aspect of it. But I do not think that that's the way this should have been done.
But just one final question.
A lot better.
One final question, though, Councillor. The truth is this decision, this whole active plan decision, wasn't taken by local people. The majority of people that decided that all of this was going to happen were councillors from all over Donegal, some that may never be in Letterkenny, you know, or won't be in Letterkenny more than two or three times a year. That's peed a lot of people off. Should have this been... And I hate to be parochial about it, but should this not have been a Letterkenny decision? Because you've got councillors in Mallon and Gwydor and Donegal Town voting for this whole plan that the people of themselves of Letterkenny have concerns about.
You're correct, Greg. You're 100% correct what you're saying. And listen, I have voiced my opinion very strongly in relation to active travel in Letterkenny, that it's completely premature at the present time until we get our traffic congestion, our southern relief roads, our 10Ts and our northern relief roads, we need to get them projects up and running. Then we should be looking at the active travel projects. And Greg, you know, I'm just going to state it as well. I've seen a lot of comments this morning on social media in relation to this. And, you know, a lot of fingers have been pointed here at Fianna Fáil councillors. And I just want to make one thing very clear. We as Fianna Fáil councillors voted against the active travel. It's the same when you go back to the four lane, the Fianna Fáil councillors were not happy with the progress.
Well, that is true. In fairness, that is true, and that's on the record.
Yeah. And you know, and my opinion on this hasn't changed and won't change, Greg. I think the active travel is very premature throughout the whole of Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be looking, and I've stated it time and time again, we should be looking at implementing footpaths and cycleways from the outskirts of town and to town.
Okay, I get you. Listen.
Give the people the option and the safety to walk or cycle from housing estates on the outside of the skirts of the town to come in.
Okay.
You have the likes of your woodlands there, your old town. You know, even coming in there from Ballymacool at the minute, the footpath's not fit for purpose. These are the places we need to be focusing on.
Understood.
And I've expressed my opinion on that time and time again.
I am actually going to be running over the 10 o'clock news. You made your points very clear. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly there. Back after the news and obituary notices.